Can we turn, please, to Luke chapter 6? I'll just read those first five verses again. Now it happened on the second Sabbath after the first that he went through the grain fields, and his disciples plucked the heads of grain and ate them, rubbing them in their hands. And some of the Pharisees said to them, "Why are you doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath?" But Jesus answering them said, "Have you not even read this? What David did when he was hungry, he and those who were with him, how he went into the house of God, took and ate the showbread, and gave some to those with him, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat. And he said to them, The Son of Man is also the Lord of the Sabbath." And this sixth chapter of the Gospel of Luke opens with an atmosphere of hostility against the Lord Jesus Christ. And it opens with this amazing phrase, "Now it happened on the second Sabbath after the first." And there's been quite a lot of discussion and comment on what it actually means, the second Sabbath after the first. But really, to be honest, it doesn't matter one little bit what it is. Some would say it's the second Sabbath after the waving of sheaves, after Passover. Because as we know, the disciples were going through the grain fields and the corn was ripe. Or it may have been the second chief Sabbath of the year, i.e. Pentecost. But, as someone has so very, very wisely written, whatever the true interpretation of that phrase, it has no effect on any point of doctrine or discipleship, and may be safely left alone. Much more here is what follows. And according to the Pharisees, the disciples were in conflict with the Sabbath laws. Because what they perceived them as doing was harvesting and threshing the corn. Now the Pharisees were a group of individuals who held a very rigid observance to the Sabbath. Over the years prior to this happening in the Lord's ministry, they had added on extra subtle provisions that had been written down. They weren't part of the law, but they were treated as part of the law. And amongst all those bits and pieces were things which you could and things that you couldn't do on the Sabbath. Things that were forbidden to do on the Sabbath. And sadly, what had happened, that keeping the Sabbath day, for them, had slid into deadly formalism. There was a definite way of doing things, and only that way was possible. Now the scripture tells us, as we read there in that verse of Deuteronomy, that the disciples were actually permitted to do what they were doing. All they were guilty of was violating the traditions of men. And notice how the Pharisees, they see what the disciples are doing, They become indignant, but they don't speak to the disciples. They speak to the Lord Jesus Christ as well as to them. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is the one they're targeting, so to speak. Why are you doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath? Is the question they ask. They were attacking on what they perceived was the law. And what they saw in the disciples, and of course by implication the Lord Jesus Christ, was a too free spiritual attitude towards the Sabbath. And basically, it's really not a very important matter what the disciples are doing. He's pestered by the Pharisees. And basically what they're saying is, these disciples of yours are working on the Sabbath day, and that's not right. And it's true, work was not permitted on the Sabbath day. We could I could read to you from Exodus chapter 20. We read in verses 8 to 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labour and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. You, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. We read further on in the book of Exodus, in chapter 34 and verse 21. 6 days you shall work, but on the seventh day you shall rest. In ploughing time and in harvest you shall rest. And one more reading from the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verses 12 to 15. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labour and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your ox, nor your donkey, nor any of your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord God brought you out there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Now, according to the Pharisees, the disciples were reaping and threshing. And the Sabbath laws, of course, plus the ones that have been added on, the traditions, were interpreted in the most, with, shall I say, the utmost strictness by the Pharisees. And they're looking for anything to bring opposition to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know where in the end their opposition took them. It took them to actually asking Pilate for them to be able to crucify the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what the Lord Jesus Christ lays down here in this few verses is this. That the principle is this. That no ceremonial provision must stand in the way of providing for the needs of life. The spirit of Sabbath observance must not lead to unnecessary burdens being imposed on those who would desire to keep the Sabbath special. And the Lord was immediately able to give an instant reply to the Pharisees. And he immediately defends his disciples. And he refers to an incident that took place in the Old Testament. And we read of that in 1 Samuel and chapter 21. And verse 1, we read this. Now David came to Nob to Ahimelech the priest. And Ahimelech was afraid when he met David and said to him, "Why are you alone and no one is with you?" So David said to Ahimelech, "The priest, the king, has ordered me on some business and said to me, 'Do not let anyone know anything about the business on which I send you or what I have commanded you. And I have directed my young men to such and such a place. Nay, therefore, what you have on hand, give me 5 loaves of bread in my hand, or whatever can be found.' And the priest answered David and said, 'There is no common bread on the hand, but there is holy bread if the young men have at least kept themselves from women.' Then David answered the priest and said, 'Truly women have been kept from us about 3 days since I came out, and the vessels of the young men are holy, and the bread is in effect common, even though it was consecrated in the vessel this day.' So the priest gave him holy bread, for there was no bread there but the show bread, which has been taken from before the Lord, in order to put hot bread in its place on the day when it was taken away." You see, the Lord Jesus Christ immediately goes to the Old Testament. He attests and acknowledges that the Old Testament is true and is fact. And the stricture, if you like, of the Pharisees is refuted by the Old Testament example of David. Jesus answered them and said, "Have you not even read this?" Well, you should have. You should know this. You're supposed to be the religious leaders, the Pharisees. You should know this. Have you not even read this? What David did when he was hungry, he and those who were with him, how he went into the house of God, took and ate the showbread, and also gave some to those with him, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat. It proves, doesn't it, that there was freedom, even in the Hebrew discipline. I was thinking of situations perhaps a comparison that's happened today. I remember one Sunday, Nikki and I were going to a deputation to a church. I won't tell you where it was. And as we drove into the town in which the church was situated, we noticed the Morrisons. Anyway, we got to the church, and we did the service, and gradually people left the church. In the end, there was just us two and one deacon left. And he said, "Thank you very much for coming," and that was it. "Well, what do you do about a meal?" So we went to Morrison's. Seemed a bit strange, walking around in Morrison's with a suit on and a tie and everything. It was a nice dinner as well, I have to say. But necessity. A friend of ours went to a church. Finished it whatever time, perhaps between 12 and half past. The deacon locked up and said, "See you tonight for the evening service." What was he to do? He had to spend all day outside because of the thoughtlessness of that people in that church. When we were in Wandsworth, the church that we were attached to, one of the churches, was on the high street. And we used to get all manner of people come in. Homeless, destitute, and we would take them over to the local restaurant over the other side of the road, and we'd give them, or we'd pay for them to have a meal. Until they said to us, "Would you please not stop bringing these people in? They're putting our customers off." But it was not a thing you want to do. I don't want to shop on the Lord's Day. I don't want to buy petrol on the Lord's Day. I don't want to do an awful lot of things. But sometimes necessity is there, isn't it? And don't we thank God that we have nurses and doctors working on the Lord's Day? And firemen? And others? The emergency services? You see, sometimes the larger obligation overrules the lesser. And one can obviously look at someone like Eric Liddell, how he was in the prison camp and yet made that stand back in the 1920s about not running on the Lord's Day. We have to remember this as well, that the Lord Jesus Christ kept the law in every part and department. And he himself, doesn't he, gives us this testimony in Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For as assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled." But what the Lord is saying here is that the ceremonial law, is less important than the providing of human needs. And that surely is the positive spirit of true Sabbath observance. Meeting a positive necessity. And that accent of necessity should always be upon mercy. Not on making money. Not on pleasure. Not on business. Not on amusement. Yes, there are many things that one can do on the Lord's Day today in our country. But surely our thought surely is there a positive necessity in what we're going to do? You see, the Pharisees were the sort that they were so entrenched. They fought for what they believed was right and proper. And it led them into legalism. It led them into formalism. They knew all about the law. But the Lord says to them, "Have you not even read? What about the other parts of the Old Testament?" They would have boasted of their knowledge. And yet you see, knowledge is not enough. It's needing the Holy Spirit to enable us to understand what is said there. And tragically, these Pharisees, or the vast majority of them, were spiritually dead. And tragically today, legalism can lead us into spiritual deadness if we allow it to. You see, David's conduct which the Lord refers to here, was not against the spirit of divine Sabbath laws, as was the disciples' behaviour that we read of in verse 1. We must always remember that the Sabbath day must be consecrated to the Lord, and then we act accordingly as our conscience and the Spirit's guidance leads us. Yes, it's a good thing, isn't it, to disentangle ourselves from everyday things, everyday activities. Yes, it's good to be able to come to the Lord's house. And hey, blessed we are. And yet people would rather sit at home and watch something on the internet. What a blessing it is to do something special on the Lord's Day. And the Lord is so gracious, he doesn't say only do it once, he gives us two opportunities, both AM and PM. And then the afternoon, perhaps, we could spend it in reading. And God willing, later in the year, in real fellowship. Not 2 metres apart, looking like we're about to go and rob a bank. But to be able to see people as we really are. To enjoy food together. To enjoy fellowship together. I've missed that over this last year. I trust you have as well. Yes, we are to serve the Lord. We are to glorify the Lord with the best of our ability. And the tragedy is, the Pharisees never really read the scriptures. Because they had missed the significance of what David did. And you see, what the Lord is saying is life is the supreme thing here. The sustenance of life. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Messiah. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of Man. He says that, doesn't he? The Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. And because he is, he has the authority to appoint in the Spirit, in what Spirit and in what manner the Sabbath should be kept. He is Lord of the Sabbath. Not the Pharisees, no committee, no group of individuals, but the Lord Jesus Christ is Lord of the Sabbath. And of course, later on, the Sabbath day, which of course was the seventh day in this particular time here, was changed to Sunday, the first day of the week. The Lord's Day. Because on that day the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And that's why many people will call it the Lord's Day. There is, if you like, a new spiritual Sabbath day. Though, of course, in reality, for every Christian, he or she has seven special days to serve the Lord. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday and Saturday. Yes, there may be an emphasis on different things on the Lord's Day. You know, we go to church on the other days of the week, except perhaps for the prayer meeting or an extra meeting or a funeral perhaps. So we do things differently on the Lord's Day. But observance of the Lord's Day should never, ever degenerate into dead and outward formalism. And we have to beware, and it's so easy to become modern day Pharisees. To become judgmental. Other churches don't do this. Other Christians don't do that. Well, we may not agree, but if that's what they're doing, they're doing. Our task is in our own conscience, with the Spirit of God working us, to serve the Lord. He would see us individually as a church serving the Lord on this day. Many, many Christians will spend Sunday completely different to you and I. That's between them and the Lord. And if we're not careful, by taking a holier-than-thou attitude, of taking an attitude of judgmentalism, it will become an enormous stumbling block in our lives and our growth as believers. You know, the Sabbath, or the Lord's Day, fits the need of man perfectly. And today, it enables us, if we, with the Lord's gracious help and the Lord's gracious encouragement and enabling grace, it enables us to do all that the Lord intended in granting us this day in the first place. And what a blessing it is to be able to do what we are able to do on this Lord's Day. And may the Lord help us individually and as a fellowship to honour him through this day, not just what we get up to and here, but what we do at home, and of course not just obviously the Lord's Day, through the rest of the week as well, but in the context of what we've looked at this morning, how we spend the Lord's Day. Just to remember this, it's between me and the Lord. It's between me, what we do at home, Nikki, and the Lord. What you do is between you and your loved ones and the Lord. What we do as a church is what we decide between us and the Lord. And nobody but the Lord has the right to poke their noses in. Let's pray together for a moment.